In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And brothers and sisters, there is glorious news today. And the news is the good news of the gospel is being fulfilled in your lives. Because, among other things, of baptism. The epistle today is about the results, the action of baptism in our life. The gospel today, the one for the Sunday after Theophany, is actually a little bit past the occurrence of baptism of Jesus. Because after the baptism of Jesus, he immediately, says St. Mark, was compelled by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness. That happened, and then during that period of time, probably, John was put into prison, and then the gospel today. There is a sense of urgency after the church considers the baptism of the Lord. We should feel this urgency, but the urgency should be with great joy and expectation. You know, you can make a man work by punishing him. You can make a man work by having rules that if he breaks them, he's punished. You can make a man work by having an overseer over him. But what really makes a person take something to their heart is when there is joy and expectation. And then there doesn't need to be an overseer to tell you what to do. Nobody needs to tell you, or should need to tell you, what is right and wrong. Because the Holy Spirit should be within you, telling you these things. And so there is an urgency now, after baptism, where the Lord is going out to preach of the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We're not resting at all. We only celebrated our Lord's baptism yesterday. And yet now we are urgent. The Lord, after his baptism, immediately went out into the wilderness to do battle and defeat the devil in the 40 days. There was no resting for him. Neither there should there be for us. But let this not be something that makes you think, this is yet another thing, I'm so busy, I'm so tired. That's not how a Christian should approach the urgency of acquiring perfection. You were born for perfection. You were born to know God intimately. You were born not to have all that stuff in you that's in there now. To be rid of it all. To be light and to be light and to be life. To be pure and holy. Baptism affords you that ability to do that. There should be great joy in your heart because of this. That's what we're born for. I remember a phrase, I've told you about it before, that my dad would say all the time in referring to something. It's like, well, I'm only human. Well, only human is not good enough. We need to be like Christ. He's the model. In fact, it says at the end of this reading, the measure and stature of Christ is what we will should obtain. He's the model of what a human being should be. Only human is jealous and angry and lazy and proud and blind about things. We don't want to be only human. We want to be like Christ. And a baptism gives you that ability. That is what we are celebrating today. It is glorious and wonderful. We had two baptisms in 2 days now. And those that have been baptized now have the opportunity to become perfected along with us. Let's look a little bit deeper at the epistle to the Ephesians, in which Paul describes the effect of baptism. He never refers to baptism here, but it's clearly about it. Now, there are passages that are more specific about baptism, such as when he says the washing of regeneration. That's very clearly baptism. But this is definitely about baptism and about how it affects our life. And always when we speak about the grace of God, there is a response that must come from us. If there is no response, then the grace of God will depart. That's true. So with baptism must be an urgency in your life to do better. So let's talk about Ephesians here. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's baptism. We're given grace from baptism according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Not according to our merits, according to Christ. He gives to us something that we could not have ourselves. We wouldn't have the strength to obtain it ourselves, but he gives it according to his measure, and his measure is overflowing. And then St. Paul goes on, wherefore he saith, he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. That gifts unto men is a quote from the scriptures. And what did you think of when you say, when we say he ascended on high, he led captivity captive? Doesn't that sound like Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death? Indeed it is. The Lord took sin, which had us in captivity, and made sin captive. He killed death, because death comes from sin, and he made it so that we could no longer sin. Sin no longer would have a hold on us. Sin is an addiction. Not just the things we do, but the person we are. The thoughts we think, the priorities we have, the way we live. Much of it's out of order. But God made it so that we can bring things into order with his grace. That is what it means to lead captivity captive. The sin is the captivity. And he made it so sin could no longer have us captive. He broke those chains which hold us to sin. And indeed, it sounds very paschal, because it is. Indeed, you cannot speak of baptism without two things. Always, in the same breath, while you are saying baptism, you should be in your heart thinking of the cross and the resurrection. The cross involves struggle and toil and death. And the resurrection comes from our struggle and toil, because God gives his grace and he makes us capable of breaking the bonds of sin in our life so that we would no longer sin. This is a glorious thing. Now he goes on to speak of a little more theologically about Christ. First he says he ascended on high. We know, of course, that our Lord ascended into the heavens in the flesh, and we will join him in the flesh. This is all possible because of baptism. Baptism begins that process of grace having its good work in us. So St. Paul speaks about the ascension. Now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? With resurrection, we always think also of crucifixion, because the Lord was crucified, died, went down into Hades, and released our holy forefathers from the bonds of sin and broke the chains that bind us. He descended into Hades, and then he ascended in a short time later into the heavens. And then he speaks about, with this great grace, he established the church. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What for? What is our baptism for? What are our pastors and teachers for? Why did our Lord descend into Hades and ascend into the heavens? What is it all for? St. Paul explains. All this grace that is given to us is for one purpose. For us to be perfected. And St. Paul says it in several ways. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of faith. Unto the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So your baptism, for some of you it was very recent, for some of you it was very long ago and you don't remember it. Your baptism has imbued you with grace so that you can become perfected. You must remember that. Remember that on your imperfect days especially. When you have a tough day, when you sin, when your mind is not right, when things are out of sorts, you were born for perfection. One bad day isn't going to do anything. You just have to pick yourself up and struggle. And God will help you. I think many times people don't understand about struggle because we seem to have a sort of bias against struggle in our society. Notice how just about every consumer product is about making things easier. It's always about making things easier, faster, you don't have to wait, you're more comfortable, you're warmer, etc. We're afraid of struggle. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to struggle. Don't be afraid to fall. God will always help you get up. You were baptized. You have strength within you. You have great power within you. Use it. Now the days that you don't use it so well, tomorrow use it better. Don't be afraid of struggle, brothers and sisters. You can't be saved without it. And you should have great joy in this struggle. Because you will become perfect. And you will be all light. And you will be with God forever. And there will be joy that you cannot even imagine. And it's all started with baptism. That's what we are celebrating today. And I want you to feel the urgency. We have to get with it. We have to get working. Baptism strengthens us so that we can work. So may God help us to work for the perfecting of the saints, to become a perfect man according to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God that He has given us this grace. He will help us. Don't be afraid to labor. Don't be afraid to fail, because God will help you to succeed. Remember this. This is very important. When people get despondent, it's because they've forgotten this. Christians should never be despondent. Oh yeah, there are sad things that happen in our life, absolutely. And I've told you before, and I'm not contradicting here, that as a Christian we should feel pain in our life for the way the world is, the way our hearts are. Yes, indeed. But never despondency. Despondency is hopelessness. And God is our hope. And He has given us great grace, so we should never be despondent. If you sometimes veer towards this sin, or perhaps even wallow in it, come to me and let's talk. Because the Christian life is about victory, living victoriously. That doesn't mean that you're not going to make a lot of mistakes and have a lot of problems and have a lot of sins and even have a lot of unhappiness on some things. But never despondency. Because Jesus Christ has given His grace to us according to His measure, which is much better than our measure. And He will not allow us to be lost if only we cling to Him. Remember that. Because just like I have, you're going to have dark days. You might have a dark day tomorrow or next week. But God will be there through it all. You have been baptized. You have been purchased with a price. You are precious. And God is a jealous God. He's not going to let you go. But you must hold on and you must struggle. The reason why people have despondency, the right reason why people fall away from faith, is because they don't struggle. You got to do it. There's only one way. By responding to the grace that God has given within you. That's why, by the way, I tell you all the time, read the scriptures. Read the Gospels, because that will help you cultivate this understanding and feel this urgency that you should feel every day. But it's especially prevalent now. It's in the air right now. It's in the mind of the church right now. We just celebrated the baptism of our Lord, which is making capable or possible our baptism. And now, after our baptism, it is time to work. It is time to become perfected. That's what we are celebrating. It's all going to happen. May God help us to stay with Him, to remember that He has given us this great grace. Amen.